It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Republicans in Congress have scheduled a vote for mid-September on a resolution to reject the Iran nuclear deal, which is expected to pass. Conservatives are using the August recess to build up public pressure against the agreement. But it isn't just members of the GOP who are opposed to it. New York Senator Chuck Schumer, an influential Jewish Democrat, has announced he will oppose President Obama's deal with Iran, voicing concern over the provisions for inspections. I'm joined now by phone by a distinguished guest with firsthand knowledge of the concerns Israelis have about this deal, former ambassador to Israel Thomas Pickering. He is also a former ambassador to Russia, Jordan, and the UN during the first Gulf War, and is now vice chairman of Hills and Company. Ambassador Pickering, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you all. It's great to be with you.
After reviewing the deal, Senator Schumer voiced concerns not only about inspections, but also the formula for sanctions to snap back if Iran violates its side of the agreement. What about the senator's concerns?
I think he's mistaken in this. First, on the inspections, there is not going to be inspection anywhere, any instant, but there's going to be inspection everywhere, anytime there is an important sense on the part of the international inspection team and with all their sources of information that there's a place to look at. There may be a delay of up to 24 days, and he's concerned about that. He's concerned that there may be activities that are being inspected that are not going to show traces of uranium. We know, in fact, that uranium is highly persistent and very hard to get rid of. But we also know, and he doesn't seem to have taken this into account, that during the 24 days, we can closely observe the situation in the facility that the IAEA wants to inspect. We can see what's coming in and out of it through imagery and other resources that we have. And we can, once we get in there, check much of the history through the technical capacities that we have. So I don't believe this is a vulnerability in the way in which he's portrayed that. Secondly, he seems to be concerned in the highly technical question of UN sanctions and the fact that they would come on automatically within a certain period of time were the U.S. to believe that a violation has occurred, regardless of what any other country thought. And he suddenly somehow believes that those inspections have to be applied in full. Those sanctions have to be implied in full rather than necessarily be regulated in accordance with the degree of difficulty that whatever Iranian action has been undertaken causes us. And I believe, in fact, that under diplomacy and dealing with our friends and allies, we could certainly work out a set of arrangements which would not require them to be carried out in full if that were necessary. And there would be ways of working with that internationally and including in the UN Security Council, with which I have more than a passing familiarity. So I think that he's overreached on that. I think his major arguments against the deal have to do with distrust of Iran. And I have to tell him in all sincerity, and I highly respect him because he's a senator who has had a great record and great accomplishments, that this whole deal has been put together on the basis of what one would call a codicil to what President Reagan used to tell us about negotiating with the Soviets, trust but verify. In this one, I would say the correct codicil is distrust and verify. And the verification arrangements under this agreement are in a scope well beyond what any other agreement has. We follow all of the uranium from mining until death. We follow any imports and must approve each import for the program, which is very important because they're dependent on outside sources for some of their work. And we have the capacity to go to a place that we wish to go, even if it takes a little time. But we have daily access to all of the activities undertaken by Iran now in the nuclear area, and that's important. And so we will know if I believe there are any efforts to circumvent this agreement on the part of Iran.
President Obama says if Congress rejects this deal, it will undermine America's standing in global diplomacy and leave the United States isolated, putting Israel in even greater peril. Agree or disagree?
I agree with the president. I think it's very clear. Put yourself in the position of you and a friend were going to buy a house together, and you sat down and negotiated all the arrangements, and you worked out every detail. And then suddenly you came back, and your whole family said, this is not a good house buy, and you shouldn't have bought it, even though you've tried to take into account every concern and every consideration they've put on the table. And there is a vague statement, you can get a better deal. Would your friend trust you after that? Hardly. Would the United States be trusted if it walked away from a deal it has played a central role in putting together, and where all of the major experts, and certainly those who have put the deal together and who have the deep experience in it, have put together a deal they believe is exemplary in its capacity to inspect and monitor, and in the limitations that have been put on Iran? The international community is important because if those who want a better deal are relying on sanctions to get it, and they have never defined what a better deal is, I hope they would someday. But if they're depending on sanctions, then they have to depend on the international community. And turning your back on the international community and, in a sense, flipping them the bird on something that they have worked with you for 2 years to try to get, and some of them much more, isn't a way to increase U.S. strength and credibility. I think, secondly, I've discussed the question of, is this a good deal for Israel? But one simple point you should keep in mind with respect to Israel, that 2 years ago, Israel felt there was a threat of Iran getting a nuclear weapon and told us it was prepared to use force. And our experts and theirs said you can get 2 years by that. We've gotten seven times that, 15 years in this agreement. And finally, there was a preliminary agreement in November of 2013. Even before it was reached, Prime Minister Netanyahu told us it was the worst deal that was ever been made. All the things he said about this deal. A year later, he was literally almost back on his knees begging us to keep that agreement in force as a way of trying to combat the work that was going ahead to reach the final deal. So, in fact, Prime Minister Netanyahu owes us, as an ally, at least some explanation of the reasons why he's reached the conclusions as he has. We know his conclusions, but we don't know much about his rationale or, indeed, about the reasons that he believes that that's the case. This deal is combating, obviously, domestic politics for its passage or for its acceptance, and emotion about Iran and distrust. But we also need to spend time, as I have suggested, looking at the elements of the deal and the elements of the inspections and judging whether we think it will work. My judgment is, and the judgment of many, including our Secretary of Energy, a nuclear specialist, is that this will work.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and my guest is former ambassador to Israel, Thomas Pickering, also a former ambassador to Russia, Jordan, and the UN during the first Gulf War. We're discussing the Iran nuclear deal. The Israelis do not like this deal at all. They are deeply skeptical about any dealings with a government like Iran's, as you've pointed out. So what would you say to Prime Minister Netanyahu, or what can the U.S. say to reassure him, to get him to at least back off of some of the rhetoric that he has been espousing?
Well, I'm not sure that he will do that, but I think that the president has made clear that he's put on the table serious offers to work with Prime Minister Netanyahu to meet whatever he thinks he needs to be able to defend himself. And that's been a fundamental basis of American-Israeli cooperation and indeed coordination for years. And that should certainly be on the table, and that should be something that would be helpful. Secondly, we need to have a frank talk, not a rhetorical slamming match, about what's right and what's wrong with this deal and why this deal is the best that we could get, and why is it that a number of Israelis, not just peaceniks, but guys who grew up in the Israeli Defense Forces and in the Israeli intelligence community, and believe this is a deal that Israel should accept. A former head of Mossad has been on record as saying this is a deal that Israel should work with. It's a deal that makes sense for Israel. So not everybody, of course, in Israel agrees with that. There are differences of view. But we should have the kind of quiet and indeed intensive and frank dialogue that I know has characterized our relationships with Israel over the years. And we should take into account the fact that while there may be some differences here, we should not let domestic politics on each side determine the answer. We should let national interests on each side. And my sense is that the national interests of Israel coincide with ours on this, and that the president has fully taken those into account in putting this deal together.
Ambassador, how concerned should we all be about, you mentioned the possibility or the consideration that Israelis have given to the idea of using force to prevent Iran from developing a nuclear weapon. What should we be concerned about? Is there a realistic possibility that at some point down the road, the Israelis, if they really don't like this deal, if they use their intelligence to somehow come to the conclusion that the Iranians are working ahead of the inspectors and feel like they need to step in and do something forceful, what do we need to do to prevent that? How concerned should we be about that?
Well, I think first and foremost, the president has said that if there is a violation of this deal, and if it becomes clear that Iran is making a nuclear weapon, he's keeping all options on the table. Secondly, we coordinate our intelligence very carefully. Thus far, the intelligence judgments on Iran have been quite parallel, including the judgment that the U.S. has made on a regular basis annually at the level of the Director of Military Intelligence, that with high confidence, Iran has not decided to make a nuclear weapon. So these are all things that are part of the background, and I urge exactly the point that you're trying to make, and that we have the fullest cooperation with Israel, the fullest understanding of what's there on the ground, and the fullest certainty that if Iran upsets the apple cart on this, decides it wants to go off on its own and make a nuclear weapon, that we are totally together in how to respond to that.
Former Ambassador to Israel Thomas Pickering joining us by phone. It has been an honor to speak with you. Thank you so much for spending time with us here on
Paul,
Central.
Great to talk with you, and thank you for your help.
Coming up, local organizations react to the Iran nuclear deal. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.